person who will be chairing your hearing will be the Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse, so that will be the next voice that you will hear, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Robles. Would you please state your full name and your ABC number for the record? Okay, thank you, sir. And you're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a general parole, which is 412A, home arrest or absolute discharge hearing today. You became eligible for this on April 20th of 2017, so last year. The board members that are conducting the hearing with you today, you see we have all five board members here. If you look to your right, my left, all the way down the other end of the bench for me, is the Honorable David Neal. Next to him, the Honorable Michael Johnson. Right in the center of the bench is our board chair, the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright. Next to me here is the Honorable Louis Quinones, and my name is Gail Rittenhouse. I'll be your panel chair today. So we'll start. Good morning. We'll start with a brief summary, Mr. Robles. It looks like Mr. Robles is 61 years old, and he's still serving 25 years to life for the crime of murder first degree with a concurrent sentence of conspiracy to commit murder first degree. Those crimes were, occurred on April 3rd of 1991. He was approximately 34 years old. He was convicted by jury trial on January 16th, 1992, and sentenced on February 14th, 1992. He did appeal, and the conviction was upheld on January 18th, 1995. Mr. Robles has a criminal history that includes, beginning back in about 1976, sale of dangerous drugs for which he received 5 years probation. 1977, sale of narcotic drugs, 5 years probation. 1982, possession of stolen property, 2 years of probation on that. 1983, aggravated assault for which there was a jail term. In 1985, burglary, 3 counts, for which there were 4 years in prison. Look at that real quick. Yes, 4 years in prison. He has a moderate to intense discipline history in prison. Has 14 majors. And a lot of those represent drug use. And particularly as I read in the AIM summary, it looks like opiates are the drug of choice. And the last discipline was January 22nd of this year, about a month ago, and that was a major for drugs. This is Mr. Robles' second hearing before the board on this particular sentence. Having been denied in the past. He has a letter of support. He has several supporters here today. He has four supporters here today with us. And will all of you want to testify? 1, 2, 3? Okay. All four? Okay, that's fine. Let's go for it. We'll go for all four. Okay, and there are no victim representatives today for this case. We should note that there is a letter from the Maricopa County Attorney dated March 3rd of this year that is expressing opposition to this, to any sort of parole for Mr. Robles. And there is, I believe, restitution owed in this case of $4,666. Mr. Robles has completed quite a few programs while he's in prison. Actually, very many programs, including a domestic violence class, lots of thinking skills, that type of classes, conflict resolution, cultural diversity, and other type of life skills classes. He states he has a release plan, has an acceptance letter from 2017 at the Men's Path Ms. Forbes, is that a halfway house?
Yes, ma'am.
One's path, okay.
We don't have to go to the people.
Oh, a treatment. Okay, okay, and that's with the Pascayaki tribe?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so that's a treatment center, okay, that's even better. Okay. So the crime in general, I'm gonna have Mr. Robles tell us about that, but it generally involves kind of a drug transaction. So maybe we'll just start there, Mr. Robles, we want to get to know you a little bit. So if you'd just tell us about what happened that day and kind of where you were and in your mind and what was going on in your life, what the time that happened, sir.
Well, I didn't really have a lot of time, it was just a time when I was in the store, I was born and I was 39 that night.
Was opiates your drug of choice, sir?
Yeah.
And when's the last time you used any sort of heroin or?
That was, I've been a drug addict for most of my life, you know, and
obvious. So it's obvious because of all your programming that you are focusing yourself. But let's go back to the crime itself. So what happened that day? What happened the day that
happened? Well, we were all just drinking and getting high, and we're all just standing on the left side, and next thing I know, we're pulling out, and this guy just starts shouting his head. Before I knew it, it was already over. I couldn't do nothing about it. They hung up, and I was there.
So, the information we have suggests that there was some kind of a transaction going on there, a drug transaction around cocaine? Some information that we have that says that you toured, you were in a house with some people, I guess partying, as you say, and you told one of the people that you had to go meet a man named Gilbert Valle, V-A-L-L-E, to pick up some money. What was that about?
Well, he's
okay, so you had to go pick up some money from him?
What is taking place? What is the environment like? I mean, is what I'm trying to understand from in your view of what happened. Is that, because what I'm hearing is...
We have to get the drugs. We have to get Brian Jones, and then we came back to Washington around the fire, the black fire in a big camp. We gave fire and then we just took around the room and we did it on. I don't know what happened, but I was sitting in the head of the staff and before I knew what was happening.
Okay, so you guys put your money together, go out and buy some drugs.
Yeah.
You came back, you did the drugs, and you were all sitting around the fire. And there's no conversation or argument or anything happening. What you're saying is that you guys are sitting around the fire, and this guy just all of a sudden, your co-defendant, just all of a sudden starts stabbing a guy for no reason?
Yes, that's what happened.
With no words being said between the three of you or anything?
No, we were just out there just talking and arguing and everything. I don't know what happened between the two of them, and he started doing it.
All right, thank you, sir.
Okay, Mr. Kenyatta.
Thank you, Ms. Whitehouse. Mr. Robles?
Yes, sir.
I just have a question, and again, I'll begin by stating that I do commend you for all the programming that you've pursued inside the Department of Corrections. But regarding the offense itself, it would seem, based on the pre-sentencing report, that Mr. Hold on a second, because I'll make sure I get the name correct. Okay, Mr. Gonzalez was also convicted. Is this correct, as far as you know?
Yes, he was in the court and I called him on the set before. And I don't know what happened with his trial or what he said or anything. I don't know anything about his trial. All I know is that they separated us and I went to court and this is what happened to him.
Did he testify against you, sir?
No, I don't know. I don't know anything about his case.
And
but I said, we represented what I said in firm.
Okay.
They said that they couldn't have that, so they split the courts up. And you went from one court, and I went to another court.
But there's some statements in the appeal summary that somebody else had testified that you had admitting to doing the murder. And so I was trying to put together how your case was prosecuted. We're not here to retry the case, but to get an understanding of what happened. And I have to admit that I feel like there's some holes in the story. I'm not completely understanding what unfolded during the murder.
Well, I don't know what else to tell you. That's what happened when I'm telling you. The guy that said that I told him out of the mountains is incorrect. I mean, he said that he wanted to say anything. I don't know if they took his testimony and threw it over the top. You know, so I couldn't understand it. I'm not going to do it in my cross-examining him or anything.
Okay, so the other question I have is you did have some prior prison sentences.
Yes.
To the murder. Were you involved in prison politics prior to the murder?
No, I wasn't.
That was something that happened during this sentence?
Yes.
Okay. That's...
I figured I was going to be in there for a long time, so that was... And then they have being... I gave me a chance to start changing my life around.
Such a detailed response. One is, I guess one is just a curiosity. Did the Warrior Society exist when you were in the prison system the first time?
Yes, it did.
And I do want to commend you for stepping down. I don't want that to be lost in our discussion, but I have no further questions at this point.
Questions? Dr.
Wright. Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Rogers, I'm a little confused. I just want you to help me in raising the same question that the Chair raised a few months ago. When I said the Chair, I mean his greenhouse. When you started a conversation about the use of drugs, the opiates, the heroin, or whatever it was, my recollection is you said the last time you had used it was 10 or 11 years ago, which I can't dispute that because I'm not there. But I'm still a little confused, sir, about the last time, the one last month, or well, not last month, but the one in January. You said that somebody gave you a tablet and the tablet had...
Officer was down, but he was down. He thought
Madam Chair, I'm still a little confused over this aspirin, but I'm not going to push it in the front.
I see a drug discipline in 2010 for drugs, a major for positive or refusal, and then one in 07 for manufacturing, drug possession manufacturing.
Yes.
They go on. Mr. Johnson.
Mr. Regulus, I just want to go back to the incident itself that happened. And there's two separate people that reported that you came back and said that you had cut the victim's throat by, you cut his throat, you pulled his head back and you cut his throat. Two separate victims who weren't there, weren't involved in the incident where you said that you had pulled his head back, cut his throat, and you guys stabbed him. And then days later when the body was actually found, that's how the victim was killed. How would these people say that, that you said that if they were not involved in, or were not there when this incident occurred? They were just innocent people that were not involved in the incident. But they said how you said you killed the victim, and when they found the victim's body, he was killed exactly like you had told them.
Those people were innocent, and were in the room for over 8 hours.
Okay.
Before they were sick, and they just told them what they wanted to hear, because they were really pushing for over 8 hours and telling them about the crime and all that. And they just said what they wanted to hear, and they let them come.
Okay, but what I'm confused about is that at the time that the police were talking to those two people, the body hadn't been found. And so, how would they know how the victim was killed unless someone told them that? But when you say they were in an interview,
they could have been reported to the county. I don't know. Like I said, they said they were interested in talking to us separately. And I don't know how they got that information. That's what I tell them. I don't know where they're getting that from. I don't know what's going on.
Well, the police couldn't have told them because the police hadn't found the body. And when they found the body, that's when they confirmed how the victim was actually killed, and that was like 3 days later.
Well, I can't explain that, sir.
Okay.
I think responsibility for the crime.
Has said that you told him how you pulled his head back and cut his throat and stabbed him, and that's exactly how he was killed. And when the body was found, they substantiated what the witnesses had said you told him.
Yeah, I don't know what to say on that, sir.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Mr. Robles.
Okay.
All right. Mr. Robles, I'm going to ask your supporters if they'd like to come up now. If you would just come up one at a time, and if you would not repeat what somebody else has said, and try to keep your testimony to around 3 minutes. So thank you so much. Thank you, sir. And could you start by stating your name, please?
My name is Philip Rose.
Okay.
I'm here in support of my brother, you know. I live up in Eloy. I'm a Gila River Indian community member. I work for the community as a rehab tech. For the past 10 years, and I work around the community and I will help, you know, the elders around them. It just amazes me how much we've grown over so many years. I'm proud of my people, and I try to be a good example in my community. I'm also an artist for the community. You know, one of them, I kind of gave it up because I needed to get a real job. We have a lot of programs for the community members. You know, we have I can't think of it right now. I'm a little nervous. We have programs for drug and alcohol there, and we also have tarots for jobs, you know, for community members, and we're all, so there's, what I'm trying to say is there's a lot for him, you know, if he was to be on the reservation. You know, I kind of leave that for my sister later on, but, you know, there is a lot available for him. You know, he has a lot of help from the community, and most of all, you know, he has brothers and sisters on the reservation, too, that would like to be in. See him do good. I am one of Jehovah's Witnesses, you know, and I strongly believe, you know, in chances, you know, that everybody deserves a chance. We all make mistakes. And with that, I'd like to thank you for your time.
Thank you, sir. Does the board have any questions for Mr. Robles? Okay, thank you again, sir. Thank you. Please state your name.
My name is Margaret Borges. This is my brother. And I live in the Indian Reservation, and I was, when he does get paroled, and he has a place to come and stay with me, where it'll be a start, not to directly put him into, I call it the free world down here, but he'd have a chance out on the reservation. There's behavioral health there. I work as a peer counselor for drug users and alcoholics. And that's, so, I mean, there's also what they call the elderly center there that helps also with people who are at 55 and up. And there's so much programs to offer my brother. There's also job opportunities and stuff like that. But it's really up to you. But I pray that you would give my brother a chance to prove himself. I know he's made a lot of mistakes, you know, since he's been gone. This is the first time I've seen him since he got locked up. So I was just happy to see him. And I just thank you very much. God bless you.
Thank you. Any questions for Ms. Robles? Okay. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Please state your name.
Good morning. I am Joseph Robles. I'm the oldest brother. I understand what my son, my brother did. I did go to the resident. I am in his visiting list. And by the time off and on, I'm getting older and older, and I'm retired right now. I'm a building inspector, and I mean, very involved in my reservation also. I own my company. I was a general contractor also, and I was there for all my brothers trying to help them out. The reservation is grown so slowly. bay. On one of them, they built the casinos and the rehab. And I know all the council people, the governors, I'm involved with them too. We have grown so much that we got schools and everything. And everything is for our people. And that's what we are for. In our reservation, we got rehabs, we got everything, as my brother said also. We have, I built that building also. I built the rehab, the new rehab and everything, and the hospitals and everything, and the community, and the homes for all our Native Americans. He is eligible for all of that. You know, the tribe will back him up 110%. And if he's given a chance, he's given got a chance to get a home free. To build homes and everything, he would have a home from the tribe. We have our land there and everything. He has a place where he can actually get a brand new home free. Me, I built my home because I'm a builder. So I didn't get a home. It's so tremendously how our tribe has grown when there was nothing out there but desert. You look towards the Gila River Reservation, it looks like a city, big city like Phoenix. We got our own mall and everything. And I'm a person that likes to do, I do a lot of, I'm an entrepreneur. I help our tribes. Develop their company, their dreams. I belong to a lot of stuff in the reservation. But most of it is here. What I'm trying to say is that my brother, if he's given a chance, again, he has us to back him up. But also he has our tribe to back him up. And he's eligible for everything we have in our reservation. With that, I just say again that he gives him the sense that he really got someplace to go in the tribal building at home.
That's wonderful. Thank you, sir. Any questions?
Thank you.
Before? Thank you very much for coming.
Thank you.
Hello, please state your name.
My name is Denise Rachel Lopez. I'm Johnny's youngest daughter. I've never actually met him. I wrote to him letters. I recently got approved to get phone calls from him. So I just now started talking to him on the phone. It's been awesome. It's amazing how there's just a little bit of time that we've talked, how great we've gotten along. And I feel like I've known him for a long time, and I've never had that father-daughter relationship, and I think this would be a great start. I've never had a start with him, so I feel like this would be a great opportunity. I've been with my girlfriend for almost 14 years, and I'm soon looking to get married, and every girl wants their dad to walk them down the aisle, and that's something that I really dream of, and I really hope that happens. I'm here to support him any way I can. Sorry, I'm a little bit nervous. He's done his wrongs, and we all understand, and he knows that it was wrong what he did, and he's been in there a long time to think about what he did. He had a drug issue, and he's working on it, and we're here to support him in any way we can, and I am not going to let him go back in there. I'm going to do whatever it takes to keep him out, and if you guys give him a chance, I can guarantee you that I will be a big part of his great success. And he has two other daughters that were not able to be here. One of them is out of state, and the other one not to work. But either way, I'm here to support him, and I feel like this is going to be a great start if you guys give me the opportunity to come out and explore the world. It's been a long time. There's a lot of changes, and I want to be a big help in that, you know. And I want to just tell him I love you, Dan, and I'm here for you.
All right. Any questions for Ms. Woodworth? Thank you very much. Thank you. Anyone else want to speak for Ms. Woodworth? Okay. All right. Thank you so much. Thank you, everyone, for coming today. All right, back to you, Mr. Willis. We're coming to the end of your hearing, so if I want to give you a final opportunity to say anything else you wanted to tell the board without repeating something you've already told us or what we've heard. So what else would you like the board to know?
Well, I just want to thank you both for your time and appreciate you guys seeing me. I do so much.
Sum it up, please. Is that it for you?
Yes.
All right. Thank you so much, sir. And I just want to make the comment that you mentioned that the younger inmates respect you. And if they do, that's because you've earned their respect. So that's respect is something that's earned.
I was trying to help the market, but I think a lot of the youth coming in here, and it makes me feel bad because I think of my kids, and what are they working here, you know? I don't like them anymore, so I try to teach them how to deal with themselves so they'll get back out if they're getting in trouble, you know?
Okay, sir.
Because they're gonna do anything, they're gonna do whatever they do to improve you, regardless of what you do with them.
All right, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Robles. Mr. Robles, the board is gonna go into discussion, and we don't discuss cases before we get in this room, and we do all of our discussion in public. Nothing is done behind closed doors under the Arizona Open Meeting Law. So the board is gonna discuss your case, and it may sound like we're talking to you or we're talking to your family, but it's the board talking among itself. So we just ask you to remain on the phone, remain silent, and we'll be back with you in a few moments. Okay, sir? All right, thank you. The board is now in discussion. And Mr. Robles is an individual who has done quite extensive programming and appears to be helping helping new residents on the yard with behavior, kind of helping them to mature and teaching them how to think differently in an informal way, not anything that's sanctioned by the department. I'm a little concerned that he's still unable or unwilling to discuss the crime itself. I feel like I don't know. I think there's a lot of missing gaps in the story of what happened that day. I'm also concerned about the very recent he says 11 years for no drug use, and yet the record, the discipline record, seems to refute that. But there were other major disciplines for drug use. So those would be my two concerns. I do want to comment and commend him for participating in the step down program. I think that's a very positive thing. But I'll open the discussion with that. Mr. Johnson?
I agree with you. I just had a couple of concerns. One of them is that aspirin and the subsequent changing of the story from an aspirin to another pill that had codeine in it, which would test positive, which would be a drug. And then I know that Mr. Rogers says that he takes responsibility for what he's done, but it just, that he was just there, but he didn't actually participate in the murder itself. But there's testimony of two separate people that says he came back and told them how he was killed, and 2 or 3 days later the body was recovered, and the body, according to the autopsy report, medical examiner, the bodies, the victim was killed just like he says they were.
Anything else, Mr. Johnson? Mr. Canero?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Johnson. Thank you, Ms. Rittenhouse. I just wanted to follow up by saying that I do, as I said earlier, commend Mr. Robles for pursuing his rehabilitation aggressively, but I have the same problems that Mr. Johnson does with, I guess, accountability in the offense.
Dr. Ray?
Yes, sir. First of all, I say, Madam Chair, I do want to acknowledge appreciation for his supporters for coming out and spending the morning with us, because they represented themselves well, and they also represented their nation well, their tribe quite well, because Peter Rebel, they really made a whole lot of progress out there. I've known one of their former governors quite well for over 10 years, and I really appreciate all that they've done out there. However, we're here for Mr. Robles, and at this time, and I have the same concerns that the rest of you have. I mean, this little offense itself, we're trying to connect the dots. The dots just have not been connected yet. And with this drug situation, I'm just not happy yet. But therefore, I'm not ready to vote for release at this time. Thank you, ma'am.
And Mr. Neal?
This is basically the same thing. It's about the defends himself, he states that they, you know, he, the other guy was stabbed him for no reason, but he was stabbed in the eye and was hooked up, and statements were made to these other victims, you know, other subjects that, that the victim tried to get out of the pickup before all this started, so it appears that they got out of the pickup with the, you know, the absolute intention and started right away with the homicide, and it was just, the only thing I would think is that maybe he was so strung out on drugs at the time, he really can't remember what happened to him or actually committed anything, which is probably worse than just not admitting it.
Understood. Okay, thank you, Mr. Neal. I'm going to make a motion, and my motion is going to be to deny general parole, home arrest, and absolute discharge for Mr. Robles, and I would also suggest, unless there's objection, a set-off of 1 year. So that would be my motion.
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Quinones, agreed by Dr. Wright. And she says right now to stop working. Agreed by Dr. Wright. This pen doesn't work either. Dr. Wright, Mr. Johnson, Mr. Neal, and with the 1 year set off, and the reasons for denial, serious and violent offense, loss of human life, trauma to the victim, serious bodily injury, history of continued substance abuse, recent disciplinary, certainly that was January 22nd, that was 2 months ago. I'm not going to check, certainly no family and community support, because he really does have a lot of family and community support, or an overwhelming amount of family, and that's excellent. And excellent demeanor during the hearing, and I'm not going to check for no release plan, because he definitely has those. So Mr. Robles, the board has voted to deny your parole today to general parole, absolute discharge, or home arrest, sir. And you heard the reasons for the denial, sir. So that you'll be recertified by the department to come before the board again in approximately a year. It's determined by the Department of Corrections. So when they certify you, we'll put you on the schedule, and we'll talk to you again then. Okay, Mr. Robles, thank you very much for participating in your hearing today, and thanks to all your supporters who came to testify. Thank you very much.
And Mr. Robles, if you could put the CO3 back on, I would certainly appreciate it.
I appreciate your time, too, and I'll see you next year, and hopefully things will change.
Thank you, sir. If you put the CO3 back on, and then this concludes your hearing, sir.